You are now listening to The Reality Is. The Reality Is.
No, I'm glad to. It's for minorities, but white people don't be scared. Asians, Hispanics, you want to come on the show, hit us up. I'll talk to anybody about everything.
These niggas is out here fucking these girls and putting it on Pornhub. At 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday with a heart on, she gets up and she turns on the church. I thought I'm going to get some head or something start today. Niggas is straight out here raw dicking and choking motherfuckers.
What are you doing?
If God has his hand on you, why you sitting?
That was pretty good, man. It just kind of came
out.
You
can't be squeamish when giving head. I mean, you got a dick in your mouth. Like, how much more gutter can you be?
Right, like. Yeah. Period, point blank, just what it is.
The reality is.
Have you ever cheated on somebody?
No.
I have.
We know.
I never wanted to cheat on anybody.
Shit happens, right?
I never did.
So if we have a little bit more, you know, people who have a little bit more can give a little bit of time to people who have a little bit less.
Yeah.
We can equalize the situation, and one day, you know, regardless of what the government does, we will have systems in place to take care of ourselves.
You are now listening to The Reality Is. The Reality Is.
All right, man, what's good? This is Anthony Roberts, host of The Reality Is, where Filter becomes extinct. Normally, I give you guys a spiel about who sponsored me, what's going on, what we do. We're not going to do none of that today. All we're going to do is jump straight into the introduction of the homie, the host of the Mind Over Matter podcast, King Naj, Najee Ella B, man. How you doing today, bro?
What's shaking, man? I'm doing splendid. I can't really complain too much.
Bro, the one thing, first of all, you already know, bro, like, I don't know if you have a nickname or a moniker for your voice, but I know I saw you on Twitter the other day, and you were saying everybody always talking about you having, like, an R&B voice, and I think I hit you up and I said, old Dunny Simpson ass nigga, man.
Yeah, man, I've been getting told that a lot, man, you know, the ladies definitely love it,
hey.
You know, they like a nice, strong tone.
Hey,
them, so.
Hey, but you know the funny thing about that too, bro, is like the women are going to be the ones, if you hadn't already noticed it, once you start seeing your numbers and shit, bro, the women are the ones that are keeping us afloat. Because I know my shit, bro, it's over half of my shit is women. And it's crazy to think that half of my listeners are women when a lot of the shit that I say on it, a lot of people be like, oh, that's misogynistic. And it's like, no, I'm just really kind of giving you, letting you in behind the curtain on how niggas think. That's what you getting today. Period.
Exactly. And you know, women have always been the most supportive, especially in my life.
Oh, yeah.
Saying? Like, whenever I need something done, you know what I'm saying? I go to a woman. Like, I remember when I was first getting into podcasting, maybe like a few months after, you know what I'm saying? I was trying to, I was looking for like a videographer.
Yeah.
And I had a dude, and he said he was going to come through the studio, take my shows for me. And, you know, he never showed up at all.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, as soon as I asked one of my homegirls to do it,
done.
The whole Nani, that went up to New York with
her.
She jumped on it like that, and she been rocking with me ever since. You know what I'm saying? But a dude, you ask a nigga to do something, that shit will not get done. But you ask a woman to do it, they will definitely do it and do it correct.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That's the main part about it, doing the shit correct.
Doing it correctly and actually doing it like you actually care about it. Because a lot of times niggas will come in and they'll do shit for you, but it's like, if I've told you what I want and what I need, don't come in and half-ass that shit. If you're going to half-ass it, don't even come in and do it at all. But, you know.
Exactly. That's why I hate niggas, man. I don't really like niggas too much. I be trying to stay away from niggas.
Hey, bro. But listen, that's why what we've been doing lately is so important. The way that me and you have clicked up with Jason and Richard and everybody else that we clicked up with, that's why I say this shit is going to be big, bro. Because how many niggas in these day and time do you actually see moving together, not moving in an arrogant manner, and there's no egos involved? Like, that shit is imperative, man.
Right. And majority of it comes from a place of love. You understand?
Most
it comes
definitely.
From a place of just wanting to see each other advance. I think in the age that we are now, you got a lot of people that support you in the beginning, and then as soon as you get start, you know, advancing and progressing a little bit, you know, that love goes away, that support goes away. You understand? And that comes from a place of jealousy.
Yeah.
So I think what we got, what we started, you know what I'm saying? The movement that we have going on right now.
It's serious,
it's out of pure love.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah. No, that's respect. So what you getting in the podcast, and I know me and Artesia made it down to your 1 year anniversary for the podcast that you did. It was a lovely event, man. We appreciate you for having us there. But my question for all of this, bro, is like, what literally got you into podcasting, though? What made you say, I'm going to try my, did you want to do it? Was it just something you felt like you could do and have fun with it? Or you felt like, you know what, I may be good at this shit?
Well, I've always had a passion for storytelling.
Yeah.
You understand? Like, storytelling has always been a passion of mine. Since I was a youngster, I always wanted to be a journalist.
Yeah.
I've always had passions for working for some type of sports and news outlet to tell stories. And so I kind of realized, well, I wanted to be a print journalist, and I realized that medium's kind of dying down a little bit.
Yeah.
So my goals and my dreams kind of shifted a little bit, and I just got into, like, just pure communication. So when I was in school, I was doing a lot, you know what I'm saying? I was writing blogs, I was doing videography, I was doing a lot of shit when I was down at Virginia State, and I didn't really know how to package it, and this was about 3 years ago, so this was going on like 2014, 2013.
Yeah.
And it was just like, at the time, podcasting really wasn't that high.
Yeah.
I really wasn't even aware of podcasts back then, so I didn't know how to kind of package all of my passion and what I truly wanted to do.
Yeah.
Because I know I just wanted to work in media and communications and kind of produce and kind of tell stories. You know what I'm saying? I've always had a passion for that.
Yeah.
I just never knew
how to get into
it all together. I mean, it took me a long time. It took me to 2016 to actually understand how I wanted to go about putting my passion in. So, you know, and I've always talked my shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People have known me for always being strongly opinionated. I don't really care who agrees with me or disagrees with me. I don't care who's in the room, who's not in the room. I'm always talking my shit.
Yeah.
And that's why people appreciate me and love me, because I don't have no cut cards, you understand? Like,
yeah.
if I feel a certain way and it's something that needs to be said, I'm going to say it.
But I think that's what...
And I think that's something that's missing.
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say. I think that's a trait that all of us have. Most of the people that I've really reached out to and that have reached out to me about building this brand that we're calling the Roberts Media Group, everybody is outspoken. And I don't think, from what I know, most of the people don't really give a fuck about what other people think about the opinions that they have. So I think that's a dope way to go into it. But I think one thing that I've learned from you and about you in the short period of time that I've known you is when I talked to Jason one time, he was telling me how you were serious about getting your interviewing, you know, technique and making it a little bit better and turning that shit on his head. And I got a first chance, you know, first glance to see you in New York. And I know, you know, while we were interviewing DJ Miss Milan and Michelle Hope, one thing I noticed about you is a lot of people have a piece of paper or they're reading shit off their phone. Like, everything that you did, bro, you did off the dome or you did off the cuff. And that's hard to do, bro.
Yeah, see, I never really like having like a structured interview. You understand? Where it's a set questions here and there. Like, I hate that. Because, you know, I don't feel like you get to really get to the root of who the person is. Like, when I'm talking to somebody, I like to get to the root of the person. You understand? Like, we're going to talk some shit, we're going to have some fun, but we're going to get to the root of who you actually are.
Yeah.
So I feel like me setting up questions and doing all that kind of takes away from that. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't do my research.
Exactly.
I definitely do my research on my guests, you understand? Like, I have to. I can't be too misinformed, you understand? But a lot of the shit I do is just, it's really off the dome. I mean, you got to be well-rounded, too.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
That's another thing about podcasting. Like, people get into podcasting, you know, they lack wit. You understand? They're not witty enough.
No.
You know, they ain't well-rounded. They don't understand
their voice. And they don't even understand it. Like, not to be funny, you have to have some kind of presence. And if you don't have a presence,
right.
A presence and the inflections in your tone and in your voice, that's what's going to draw people to your podcast. If you don't have that, you're just going to have motherfuckers just listening. It's no punchlines. And another thing in black podcasting that I notice a lot is that everybody's looking for that fucking punchline. It's like that comedian who's not funny, so he literally hones in on that punchline. And if that punchline doesn't work, then you fucked. And that's what I hear is a lot of punchline podcasters who really don't do no homework, who really don't know what they doing, and half the shit they fucking saying, bro, that shit sound like some other shit that another nigga said. Be original, my niggas. Mm-hmm. Period.
And that's the thing. People got into podcasting so they don't have to be original.
Exactly.
They think they can sit in front of a mic and just start talking. It's just like, it's so much more besides that. Like, you don't have no idea how many people I get in my DMs asking me, yo, Nas, put me on the show. When you gonna put me on the show?
Yeah.
You've been on for a year, you still ain't put me on? Ooh. It's like, when you gonna contribute? You know what I'm saying? Like, I just can't put anybody on the show and just think y'all just gonna talk in front of a mic.
Exactly.
And people that I have put on, once they get in front of a mic,
they freeze the fuck up, bro. Bro, imagine what you're saying, though. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, imagine what you're saying. You know, you said people been like, hey, man, you've been out a year, and you ain't put me on. Bro, I've been doing this shit like 4 or 5 years. I ain't put nobody on.
Yeah. See, I can only imagine the shit that you be going through, man. But I don't be having time for that. I don't carry a show myself. I'm going to do it just alone. You know what I'm saying? I don't need nobody just in the room just taking up space or not being able to know when to go in, when to be quiet. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a structure to my show. It's a unstructured structure stuff. You understand what I'm saying? If you're not in podcasting or you don't really study it or you don't even really listen to podcasts, you probably won't get it. See, me, I did my research before I even jumped into the game. So a lot of people that I listened to when I was first getting into podcasting, I listened to a lot of Tax. Tax is definitely, he served as a source of inspiration. Combat Jack definitely served as a source of inspiration as well. Who else was I listening to? I like Premium Pete too. Premium Pete, he has a pretty good show.
What podcast is he? What is he on?
On with Combat Jack.
You said he on with Combat Jack? You said he on with Combat Jack?
He used to be on Combat Jack's show, and then he left and he ventured off and got his own show.
And respect to Comeback Jack, man. Shout out to Comeback Jack. I know he's battling. I just saw it the other day, stage 4 cancer, and I was like, shit, man, I didn't even know.
Yeah, but, man, that cancer was a fucking beast, man.
I
didn't even know it was stage 4.
Yeah,
man.
It was stage 4. Yeah, bro, that's what I read. I read it off something online, but that's how I found out about it. But it made sense, though, because I had been looking for him or, you know, trying to hear new podcasts, but no content was coming out. Yeah. I'm like, that's different, because he always putting shit out, like, weekly. He was thorough with his shit. So, but, man, with you, bro, back to you, man. I know you did the 1 year podcast anniversary. How did it feel leading up to that point, bro? Because I know for me, when I did my first live show, first of all, I was nervous because I'm like, who gonna actually show up to this shit? Because I think we both know you have people who ride with you, and then you got people who ride for you. There's very few people who ride for you, then there's people who ride with you. So what was that like building up to that, man, and just... You know, did you want to do this 1 year podcast anniversary, or did somebody else say, hey, you should celebrate the shit you've done?
Well, it was always in the back of my mind. I just wasn't sure how I was going to celebrate. You know, I didn't know if I wanted to do it on a large scale or a big scale. And shit, at the time, Deuce wasn't even on my radar.
Yeah.
So, I started planning for the live show maybe back in, like, August, I want to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really just started building a relationship with the Deuce people, like, in July. Like, this whole new partnership is new, you understand? Yeah. So, I'm coming in the game, like, a little green, you know what I'm saying? I never planned a live event before. I wrote proposals before in grad school, but I never won of this type of magnitude, you know, dealing with a corporate brand like this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So... all this shit was kind of new, man. And I learned a lot from it. I learned that people who, like you said, you know what I'm saying, it's the difference between people that's going to ride with you and ride for you.
Yeah.
And that was definitely opened a lot. You know, a lot of people, you know, they like to say, you know, I see you, bro. I like your movement. Woo, woo. But they don't really mean that.
They don't mean that.
Niggas come up to you in the street. Man, I love what you're doing, man. Keep it up. Nigga, you don't love what I'm doing. You hate me. You don't appreciate
Literally, nigga, that's what it is, bro. Literally.
I be hating that shit, man. Don't even come up to me and say that, man. You never had words for each other, and now you gonna come up here and say some shit like that.
Yeah. Just wait, though.
People just want to be in the moment.
That's the thing, though. They want to be in the moment. They want to be a part of a movement. And the funny thing about it, bro, is I tell a lot of people with everything that I've done with the podcast, a lot of people be like, oh, man, you moving and shaking now, man. You must got that bread. And I'm like, nigga, I'm still out here eating hand to mouth like the rest of y'all motherfuckers. I'm sorry that I'm making the shit look good and look easy, but the shit don't be easy, bro. And I don't think a lot of times they think about that. It don't be easy. Now, this is what I heard you say something. You said grad school. Where did you go to school at? Where did you go to college at?
So, for undergrad, I went to Virginia State University in Petersburg, Virginia. In the dirty South, man. I was one of my... I'm not going to say I regret going there because I met some amazing people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Some of my best friends are from college. But just the whole area of just going down there, man. I mean, when I went down there for orientation, I'm seeing Confederate flags.
Oh, shit.
Now, from a young nigga that's coming from D.C.,
yeah,
I've never seen a Confederate flag in my life, not up close and personal.
Yeah.
But once you cross that, it's a certain pass point that you cross on 95. 95 is like the highway.
Yeah.
Like, once you cross that certain path, you're in a whole different area of Virginia. Because you got Northern Virginia, which is like where the Pentagon is.
Yeah.
Not too far from D.C. You got that part of, and that's a hop, skip, and a jump.
Yeah.
From D.C. And then you got another part of Virginia. It's like, once you cross that path, it's like it's a whole group of different people right there. Their whole ideology is different.
Yeah.
They just think different. You know what I'm saying? Because there's not too many of us down there.
No?
And I noticed that. You understand? Like, that was one of my... It was an eye-opening experience. It taught me a lot about racism. Taught me a lot about prejudice. And just experiencing that, I think that kind of led to me starting a podcast. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My group of friends, we experienced a lot of shit down there. I know I almost got put out of school. Shit, 3 times.
And see, that's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
And that's what I was going
to
say.
Put me up.
What is it like, though? I mean, coming from D.C., bro, where it's like, it's we always talk about this, bro. It's black love. It's chocolate city. Like, what was it like for you? Like, what was the culture shock for you going from D.C. and then experiencing racism and shit like that?
The city shuts down at fucking 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Sundays. Like, there's no buses going. Like, restaurants are shut down.
Yeah.
The city is so fucking small. It's just like, it's one of them hick towns. It's like, everybody kind of know each other.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of Petersburg before in my life.
Yeah.
So just going down there and just experiencing how much of a small town it was, I was just like, I can't wait till Friday so I can go home. Now, luckily, it was only 2 hours away from D.C.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was always able to, you know, get back to D.C. when I needed to, but it was just like, I hated it down there. If it wasn't for my friends that kind of kept me sane and kind of kept everything on the straight and narrow,
you would have left a long fucking time ago.
Sane, man, like, you don't see a lot of black... The only black people in Petersburg is the black people that go to Virginia State University.
Yeah.
Other than that, there are no black people down there. So it's just like, damn. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm in a city where I'm not the majority anymore.
And that's what I was just about to ask you. With that being the case, bro, was it some kind of fear? And I don't mean like fear, like scared of white people. Because, and the reason I say that is because I'll be honest, I'll give you an example. When all of that shit popped off, like when all this race wars and all that shit popped off, like Obama's last year, I was working for this company to where I was always in like the northern part of Dallas, which is the ritzy area here in Dallas. And I remember like pulling up to a stop sign and shit, and every white person I saw, like, I looked them motherfuckers in the eye. I watched them, because it got to a point where it was like, people, white folks and cops are able to kill black folks so easily in the streets. I started being like, I'm not gonna just be, you know, overlook you. Like, I'm looking every one of you motherfuckers in the eye, because I need to see this shit coming. That kind of fear is what I'm talking about. Not like truly fearing a white person, because I don't fear nobody, but I definitely don't fear white people.
Definitely not a fear of a person, but, you know, a fear of an environment.
Exactly.
You gotta tread carefully how you're moving. You really don't even want to go out at a certain time of night. You know what I'm saying? Because they knew from Thursday to Saturday that we was going to be out.
Yeah.
We was going to be out partying. So, put them on more heightened alert.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, they already looking for a reason to stop some trouble. They're looking at the slightest thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I was talking about at my live show. It's just like, it gets the over policing sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I may be going 20 miles an hour, the speed limit may be 30, so you may pull me over and you may say, oh, why am I going so slow? You're going 10 miles under the speed limit.
Yeah.
And it's just like, they start checking you for certain shit, And the shit that you may not even never been pulled over for, now all of a sudden, you sitting in the car 10, 15 minutes, these motherfuckers telling you, hold on, stay tight.
Yep.
You know what that means. You
know? Oh, yeah. They trying to damn
it. Motherfuckers know what that means. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's simple shit like that. You just want to, you're like, man, how can I avoid this shit? But, I mean, can't.
It's that's what I was about to say, bro. It's unavoidable. But see, that's the thing, too, man. I think it's funny being black sometimes because you could tell these same stories to white people or even some other black people who maybe grew up in a different demographic. And people still feel like, oh, it's 2017. This shit ain't happening. And it's like, motherfucker, have you not turned the TV on? Now, being black, sometimes I just want to clock out and check out of being black because a lot, bro, being black is tough, man. On a daily basis, being black is tough with white people, and being black is tough with just your own fucking people, bro. Because you may not. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and I was telling them how being light skinned, and it was funny how me and you addressed light skinned, and you were saying Jay-Z was light skinned to you when we were talking in New York. And it's like, for me, like, I just see Jay-Z as a dark skinned nigga. I don't see him as light skinned. But it's so funny because light, dark skinned people, or just black people as a whole, when it comes to mixed race kids or mixed race babies or light skinned people, like, we always want to try to put them somewhere. Meaning, if you're a light skinned dude, well, you are pretty, you're caramel complected or what they say, brown paper bag, or like what Charlamagne say, a waffle color nigga.
Yeah.
But it's like with light skinned people, bro, it's like if they cling more to the white side of their family, and then it's like black people will be like, oh, okay, you know, you don't fuck with us, we'll go back with them. But if it's a light skinned person that clings to the black side, we want to tell them they're not black enough either. So it's kind of like, how do you fit in being did you get jokes made about you being a light skinned guy growing up and shit? Because as we both know, the black demographic can be rough on a motherfucker.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we gotta stop doing too, because we kind of aid that, and that's the sense of. That's another form of, you know, trying to divide us, and and I don't want to go as far as calling it genocide, but it definitely creates a lot of animosity in the community.
Yeah.
I remember I had this conversation on Twitter, and I got attacked about a month ago.
Yeah.
We was talking to some woman on Twitter. What she tweeted? She said some shit like, "Dark-skinned women have to go all out just to feel beautiful." And some other shit, she was like, dark-skinned women have it the worst in America. And I said, bullshit. And so I got a lot of the bitter women coming at me in my mentions saying, I don't know shit.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, I may look like a light skin, but my mother's a dark-skinned woman.
Yeah.
I was raised by my mother.
Yeah.
I realized that I was with my mother for the majority of my life. Like, she kind of put me alongside with her as she was doing everything. So she exposed me to a lot that the normal kid wouldn't have seen. And so I know my mother personally didn't have to do anything extra to get a job or to feel beautiful, to know her self-worth. I know my mother didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
So they were saying, oh, you can't say that. First of all, you're a man and you're light-skinned. You don't have to go through what we go through. It's just like, and I think we have to stop comparing struggles.
Yeah. We do okay, do that a lot. We do that a lot. Who got it worse?
Compare struggles, and it's like, you can't do that. You understand? Like, I've seen it firsthand. So how can you tell me that I haven't experienced it?
Yeah.
I've seen it firsthand. I've seen with my mother work hard as hell to make a way for us. So I know how it is. Like, and I don't think it's because she's dark skinned. I think that's just how it was in D.C. in the 90s period.
Yeah. But see, it could be demographic too, from a perspective of, like, here in Texas, I've heard that same thing where people feel like women of color, especially darker skinned women, have it rougher. And I know that they would probably say that here because it goes from just dating. Like, I know in high school, like, niggas that was my skin color and people who don't know what I look like, I'm a dark skinned guy. So it's like when it was a dark skinned woman. Like, not to be funny, niggas preferred a light-skinned girl or a white girl or a Hispanic girl. But not to be funny, being a dark-skinned guy, everybody prefers you. Now, you had that Wesley Snipes period and that Shamar Moore period where it was like, you know, light-skinned guys was in, the dark-skinned guys was in. But it's like, if you're speaking right now, guys, period, have it easier. And I can say, just from perspective of talking to some of the guys here, demographic-wise, a lot of them niggas don't really shoot for dark-skinned women. They don't, bro. So a lot of them, when they say that argument, they have a fair argument, but I think the thing to keep in mind is demographic. And if you're dealing with Twitter, then not to be funny, I don't know if you knew the person on Twitter, but it also, like I said, it just based on demographic.
I didn't know it at all. give my opinion.
Yeah. And see, that could be the thing. She may not have been from D.C. or from that area. Because I know for me, bro, one thing I've done, I've been on wax saying it several times, where I'm like, black girls are not as sexual as white women or other, you know, other types of women. And I said this years ago, and I remember one girl from Brooklyn hit me up, and she was like, well, what kind of black girls you fucking with? Because we get down out here. And I was like, you know what? Immediately, I thought, you know what? It's a demographic thing, because in the South, a lot of them are taught not to touch themselves, not to masturbate, not to do this, not to do that, no sucking dick, save your pussy till marriage. And it's like in New York, motherfuckers is fucking all the time for just for the fuck of it, bro. So it's, you know, sometimes it's just that different upbringing, bro, for real. Like, not to be funny, when we was interviewing Michelle Hope, bro, she's such an open book, and a lot of women down here not like that, bro. They gonna try and talk in a professional manner. Even if you talking about dick and pussy, they will not utter those words, bro, because they worried about what people gonna be, how they're gonna view them or what they're gonna think about them.
I think people, and then when you say it like that, I think that comes from being scared of being who you are.
Oh, most definitely.
I always tell people, I don't give a fuck about validation. Like, validation won't do anything for me. People will respect you more if you've been open and honest and just being you.
Yeah.
You know, I think when we get caught up too much, and social media plays a part in it too, but yeah. People are so caught up with just trying to project the image, you know what I'm saying? My mother always told me, don't project the image, be who you are. Yeah. A lot of my ideologies comes from my mother.
Yeah.
You understand? So how I treat people, how I approach people always say, when I say things, people are like, damn, I'm shocked that you said that. Like, why would you say that?
Yeah.
It's like, that's how I felt. You understand? I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a CEO or the average Joe Blow on the block. Like, I'm going to be myself around you 24 hours. You're not going to get a different knowledge. Anybody who knows me will tell you that I've never switched up on them.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what type of environment I am, I'm in or not, I'm gonna always be the same me.
Yeah.
And I think we gotta stop trying to play a part. I'm not trying to play a part, I'm just trying to be me.
Yeah, and I think that's what I'm trying to do. I know that's what I'm doing, not trying to do, but do you ever realize that, and I was having this conversation the other day, we always say we got haters, and then, well, not us, but you know, you have haters on one end of the spectrum, right. And then you have the people that the haters are hating on. But it's so crazy how the haters don't really realize they are the ones hating. Like, you got a lot of shitty niggas out here posting shit on Instagram, and girls posting that shit on Instagram and social, like, about ain't shit niggas and ain't shit bitches and side bitches.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have side bitches and ain't shit niggas posting that. So who's the wrong person in this day and time? Why is it so fucking hard to identify niggas who are the haters? You know what I'm saying? On the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah,
Nobody wants to be a shitty person, even a shitty person.
It all goes back to social media, man. Like we were saying up in New York, man, it's like, it's a social media can be very dangerous sometimes. Because
yeah.
You have so many people just trying to portray something that they not, and there's no way of finding out because it's behind a computer screen.
Yeah.
So the only way you will find out is when you see them in person.
Yeah.
And then you be like, okay, I get it. You're a kid, you understand? Like, you're a dickhead. We already, we can establish
now. Exactly.
That's real, you know what I'm saying? But behind social media, man, it allows you to be whoever you want to be.
Yeah.
So you can tell a fucking amazing story behind social media. But I think what a lot of people feel is human interaction.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's time to really interact with people and hold a conversation.
We don't know how to do that no more.
You really find out what it's about. And I think that's why I thrive so much in life, period, because I was really big on social media.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm heavy in it now because I have to be, but
to promote the podcast, that, most definitely.
I'm not really big on social media. You know, I like picking up a phone and having a conversation with people.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you may be lying to me. I don't even really like texting that much.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you may be lying over text, you know what I'm saying? At least over the phone or in person, I can see how you are. I can get your vibe.
You can gauge. Well, you know, yeah.
I'm like, oh, bro. Over text and social media, so much shit can get misconstrued.
Bro, that's why so many niggas is win. Bro, that goes back to, you know, how we were talking about in the studio in New York. We were talking about how niggas, you know, you disagree with me on one part, saying that you feel like it's easy for men to get pussy, period, even with, you know, if they got some money. But it's at a point where, like we talked about, niggas don't gotta have money, because you know why? Texting and social media allows niggas to say things and move a certain way or paint themselves in a different type of picture, even though that's not that type of nigga. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm pretty smooth. I feel like I got a golden mouthpiece. But nigga, I say some of my best shit during text. Text message? Nigga, I can text, boy. I have a motherfucker taking off their panties before they even got over here. That's what text messaging can do.
Yeah, that's how that's the power of that shit, man. You understand? And also, you see a chick that you want, you ain't even gotta wait to go get her. You can hop in them DMs right then and there.
Hop in and get right into it if you need to. Yes, bro.
You can hop in them DMs, you can have her flying out.
Oh yeah.
Next week.
It's easy.
That's how easy it is.
It's so easy. But bro, I think when it comes to the perspective of like texting, a lot of times, but this is what I say too, even with text messages, bro, it still takes women, and I just had this debate with a homegirl the other day, it still takes women to allow niggas to do the shit that they doing to these women, bro. Now,
that's true.
And I asked one day, I said, with all this Harvey Weinstein and Russell Simmons, everybody getting caught for sexual harassment and pulling their dick out and shit, bro, you got to be careful. But at the same time, with all this shit going on, even text messaging and all this other shit, when do we start holding women accountable for that shit, bro? Because it's all niggas that you hearing
that's
about.
Real.
When do you start holding women accountable for not telling that nigga to put his dick up or getting on your knees and sucking the nigga dick even though he didn't put his hand and force you to do the shit? Now some people gonna listen to this and they not gonna like it, but that's real shit. I only see niggas crumbling, and these are alleged stories from 20 to 25 years ago. How the fuck do we know who's what?
And that's what I was saying. That's why I asked you, son. I was like, how the fuck can you wait 30, 40 years to come out about something? And people always try to give an excuse, oh well, they feel comfortable now. When they tried to tell, nobody was listening. That just sounds like a lot of bullshit to me. I'm gonna be quite honest with
me
you.
Too.
You understand?
I'm on the same boat.
I'm trying to be sensitive to the shit, but it don't resonate with me. No. It just doesn't. No matter how much you slice it up, it don't.
If I was 12 years old and somebody's mother at 30 raped me or coerced me to take my clothes off, even if I didn't know what the fuck was going on at 12, if I feel uncomfortable, I'm pretty sure I would have told my mom or somebody. But definitely at 17, 18, when I realized that the shit wasn't right, it would have probably been 5 or 6 years. But 25, 30 years, that nigga ain't even the same person no more.
Exactly. That's a whole different person.
Yeah, the way, yeah.
Between 5 to 10 years.
Nigga, the way I was moving back when I was like 23, 24, bro, I would fuck 8 bitches in a week. Now I ain't fucking 8 bitches. I don't need my dick that dirty. I'm a different dude.
Right.
But if you talk about a nigga at 24, yes, I'm that motherfucker. I'm not that same person. So
yeah.
Are you telling me that I can't become a better person? I will always be the same person. So I'm getting prosecuted for shit that I should have been prosecuted 4 years ago? Nah, that's why even legal laws of the land have a statute of limitations, bro.
But then another thing is you also got to watch these women who are lying. So a lot of things can be consensual. But
yeah.
Then you may want to decide to break it off, and a woman, she can't handle that.
Exactly.
So then she decides she wants to do something to kind of fuck up your life.
Yes.
And I think that's a situation that Zeke is going through right now.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, the proof is already in the pudding for Zeke. I mean, the text message shows Zeke wanted to break it off. She thought he wasn't with it.
Yeah.
So she decided, okay, what can I do to fuck up this man's career?
What can I do to fuck this
and
shit up?
It costs Zeke a lot of money. And you got to be careful moving with women because you got a lot of spiteful women
in
society nowadays.
Yes.
They're so selfish, they only think about themselves.
Yep.
So you got to really go through a vetting process when you pass and swinging on dick. Because I'm telling you, sometimes it's really just good to masturbate sometimes, man. That's not what you thought you needed.
Most definitely.
You get that off yourself and
keep
it moving.
That's
true,
bro.
You have to have that headache.
Hey, I literally felt like the other night I wanted to move differently, and I had to go on out there and knock out 2 back to back. I'm sure the little man was like, "God damn, nigga!" But I was like, "Hey, I gotta move differently. I can't let this shit go down like this, bro. Everybody ain't gonna be good to you. Everybody not gonna be good to you, bro. Everybody not gonna be good to you.
Exactly.
You gotta watch how these women move.
A lot of women are actually. Man, and I'm not even gonna, I don't wanna incriminate anybody, but just like, I work out a lot, you know what I'm saying? So I have a slight physique, I'm not gonna talk too much there, but I have a slight physique. And it's just like, when I wear certain shit at work, you know what I'm saying? Like, women will actually come on me and just start feeling me, you know what I'm saying? Like, but they think because I'm a man, and I'm a young man,
You like, want that shit.
That's acceptable.
Yeah.
I'm feeding his ego. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, a lot of that shit don't be warranted. No. I don't be asking for that energy. You understand what I'm saying? I'm coming to work just on the run on some regular shit.
But you know what's so funny?
Get the job done and be out.
But the funny part about it is, when you think about it in your mind right now, this is where the reality is gets real, bro. In your heart of hearts, in your mind, we could go to a woman. A woman may want sex because they always say they want sex just as much as us. But you can't come to no woman and be like, hey, let me get that box. Like, even if you're talking about just eating the box, like, they probably going to be so offended. But if you look somewhat okay and you a girl that's coming over offering to get a nigga dick suck, niggas going to contemplate and not say yes. I'm like, this bitch want to suck my dick? Like, it's like girls are turning that shit down because they don't want to be seen a certain way. Niggas gonna be like, get my dicks? Hell yeah, ain't nothing better than nothing better than pussy, but new pussy. Same thing with getting a blowjob, bro. That initial mouth coming over the penis is like, oh yeah. Now let me see what she's working with, bro. We always want to know what's better. We always want to know what's next. Like, that's niggas. We made the same, but we're also made different, bro. So.
Yeah, it's still a better option.
Oh,
you understand? Like, that's a struggle that we deal with as a society.
Yep.
I'm not even going to say in a black community.
That's period. Society. Oh, yeah, most definitely.
We always may think, yeah, she may be the one, but it may be another one that's better than her.
That's the thing, like, bro. And that's what I think, but
niggas
a lot of
to tell. And women too. Women think the same shit.
But niggas don't know how to be real about that shit, bro. Like, I'm 35 years old. I be 36. A lot of people always asking me about me and Arteezy, and they be like, "Well, y'all talking 5-6 years and shit. What y'all gonna do?" And it's like, well, shit, if I'm not ready for that, and she's not pressing me for that, and she's saying that she doesn't want that, why the fuck I'm supposed to go up and sign my name? I was looking at a live video of Charlamagne and them. They were doing the Brilliant Idiots, and they were recording it on Instagram Live, and it was one part on there where Charlamagne was like, I got friends that are 35 and 40 years old still talking about getting married. He's like, I'm married and I'm 36. Why are you wanting to get married at 40 years old? I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but clearly, if you got name how many people you know that are married and they're happily married. Most niggas who are married saying, don't get married, don't fucking have kids. So why, if you're single, why the fuck we gonna rush and get married and have kids when niggas who are already doing it in a lookalike happily marriage, the niggas telling you not to even do the shit, bro?
Well, I see both sides of it. You know what I'm saying? Because the first image of marriage that I saw was my grandparents.
Yeah.
And shit, they've been married for damn near almost 40 years, if it ain't been 40 years.
Yeah.
So I definitely see that spectrum. But as I continue to get older and continue to talk to my uncles and, you know, people that are married and or just getting married.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's a struggle, but it's just like, make sure that's the one.
Because if
it's not the one, and you feel like you made a mistake, that shit will eat every night. It'll eat you every night.
And I think that's the thing for me, bro. Like, how the fuck do you even know? And some people always tell me, they be like, oh, when you know, you gonna know. Nigga, it's been several times where I thought I knew and I went to sleep and woke up and I was like, nah, nigga, I'm bullshitting. Like,
it's a struggle. It's tough, man. It's definitely tough. I mean, even relationships. How you know that's the one that you want to settle down with?
Exactly.
Call that your girl.
Yeah. That's tough, bro. It's tough.
And I don't know if there's a right way to go about it. That shit is confusing, man.
Yeah. And some people think it's just easy.
It's not. It's not at all. Especially when you don't have experience.
Yeah.
That's why I always tell people, man, go through a whole phase. Be a hoe and be a slut. Get gutted out. You know what I'm saying? But in the process, find yourself too. Because find yourself, you don't know what you like and what you don't like.
Exactly.
How you think you're going to be ready for a relationship?
My nigga, I told somebody that. I think when I was 25, I was dating this girl. I was 25. She was 20. I think she was 21, 22. And I remember at some point I told her, I think we had been together at that time, maybe 2 years. And I remember telling her, I said, it's great right now. You love me. You care about me. That shit is all good. But I said, at some point, a light is going to switch in your head, because I was her first. I said, a light is going to switch in your head and you're going to want something different. And you're going to want to try something different. And you may want to come back, but you're going to want to try something different, which was a whole phase. And sure enough, bro, she ended up leaving me for somebody else. It's like the shit hurt. But at the same time, I had already spoken into existence, because most people, it's very few people who meet somebody 18, 19, 20, and they stay married or stay with them the rest of their lives. And if they do, they still fuck around with other people. No, this ain't the fucking 60s. Back in the 60s, if a nigga had a truck and a job, you give him the pussy and you marry the nigga and you give him kids. And you make cornbread and pies and sit that shit in the window. This ain't that America no more, my nigga. That shit is long gone. That shit is long gone, bro. So I know a lot of times
relationship shit is tricky, man.
It's tricky.
I mean, we all have hopes and aspirations of, you know, finding that one person that we can be with and be settled down with. And it sounds good. And, you know, for a lot of people, they experiencing happiness with it. You know, some people, like I had a partner tell me this one time. He was like, man, I was in the process of and I hate to say it, you know what I'm saying, but I was just running through women.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I was watching him and his relationship, and I was just like, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want what y'all got. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's if I know it feels good, just coming home to somebody, got your dinner ready. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all can sit and just talk about y'all day. But for me, that shit wasn't working.
But you know what though? But you see how you said that? How it looks nice? But you know what? I'm not saying him particularly, but imagine the other guys who are sitting on the other side of that saying, damn, you get to fuck multiple girls and get your dick sucked by multiple girls and come home when you want to and wake up when you want to. And bro, he probably looking and saying, shit, I missed that, or I want that, or I never got to live that life. So
yeah, it's crazy. I mean, yeah. Shit, we look up to them, they look up to us.
Yeah. It's kind of like the rappers and the ball players, or like I heard a pastor say one time, he was like, do you ever notice how, like, if it's a hot summer day and a fly gets into an air conditioning car, he may be trying to get in there, but when he gets in there, we trying to kill it or swat it, and he probably like, let me get the fuck out of here. And while the other one on the outside looking saying, damn, he's inside that cool car, you know, he ain't getting hit on the window or no shit like that, when that motherfucker come out, the other one coming in, it's a revolving door, bro. Because sometimes you ain't gonna learn about shit until you actually get the lesson. You gotta go through the shit to get the lesson. Sometimes you can see other people doing all of this shit and hitting their head up against the wall, but we still gotta walk, we still gotta fly into that window until motherfuckers smack us around, life smack us around a little bit, and we learn. But like you said, we got to go through these things to figure out what the fuck we want. And I know right now today that marriage and kids, that shit is 50-50 for me, man. Straight up.
It's 50-50?
It's 50-50.
35 going on
36? Yeah, bro, it's 50-50. And you know why? The reason being is because the way the world is set up right now, bro, most people... Back in the day, I feel like people was getting married for love. Well, you know, historically, people used to get married for allegiances and to build wealth. And then something happened and it was like, oh, fuck wealth. We want to marry somebody for love. Because, you know, you had kings giving their daughters off to princes that they didn't want to marry. And now
families matching up people.
Exactly. But now it got to a point where it was like, hey, I want to love and be with somebody that I care about. Well, now it's kind of getting back to that point where people talking about gold diggers and shit. No, motherfucker, it's going back to the hierarchy of the way it was set up for people to marry people with wealth so they can have wealthy children, wealthy lives, and so on and so forth. That shit is getting back to that now, bro. You got niggas marrying girls who got money so they ain't got to take care of them, bro.
Yeah, nah, that's real. But see, me, I can't do that because I'm a hustler, so I don't need anyone to take care of me. Yep. My mother raised me to be self-sufficient and independent, so I mean, I've always had hustles up my sleeve. I've never been broke. If I was, I found a way to get it.
You found a way to get it, yeah.
Me, personally, I got to be around somebody I cannot see endure.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I stopped being a hoe.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, I roll over the next morning and it's like, I don't even want to be near you.
Yeah.
You know, not even the next morning. After I nut, I don't even want to be near you.
My nigga, that's the worst feeling. And if you're not an ain't shit ass nigga or a shitty ass type of dude, you're not going to kick them out, bro. You're going to let them leave.
Right.
You're going to let them leave when they want to leave. But even though you may be gritting your teeth the whole fucking time, you're just not going to do them like that. But if you was a trash ass nigga, you'd be like, all right, hey, I'm about to go to bed. You leaving?
Yeah, see, I can't do that.
Me neither, bro.
I can't do that. I got a little bit of respect, so I can't do that. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So it's just like, you sitting, you laying down next to him, you like, damn, the fuck she gonna say she leaving? You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, she not.
Yeah, she not going nowhere, bro. Because how many girls want to be... You know, I was watching this, it was a video on, I don't know if you saw it, it was on Instagram the other day. And it was these two black dudes, and I don't know if it was just them making a video, because a lot of times niggas make videos and the shit ain't really real. They just know it's funny, so they create a video for likes. But it was this one guy, I don't know what part of the country he was in, and his homeboy was videotaping him as he was wiping the window, like getting snow off the windshield. And the dude was like, hey, boy, what you doing? He talking about some shit. This girl just came over, I fucked her, and I asked her when she was leaving, and she said in the morning. He said, like hell you ain't. He was like, he got out there, he's shoveling snow out of the driveway. He cleaning the ice off a window, off the front window and the back window. Because he like, hey, that's how we are, bro. Sometimes you already know what it is. You've been texting a girl all week. She's talking about giving you head. You saying some of your nastiest, best shit. And when she get over there, she want to talk. And you like, I don't want to fucking talk. I just want you to suck my dick like you said on Tuesday. And when you suck this motherfucker, maybe chill out a little bit and then roll out. I didn't feel like using my hand tonight. I wanted a mouth, but I don't need you staying the whole night. That's real, bro.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a fact.
That's
man.
True. And girls that's be doing the same shit. Girls the same way, bro.
They do. They definitely do.
You ain't got to tell me to leave, because once I get what I came for, I'm out of there.
Yeah, I'm out. Yeah, you ain't. I can read signs. Hell yeah. I know what shit is.
My lot of motherfuckers. It's just like talking to somebody who talks too much, and you're talking to them, and you know you got to go somewhere, and they be like, hey, did I catch you at a bad time? And you be like, yeah, I'm about to get ready to get up out of here. And the motherfucker still talk like for that, 10 minutes, and you like, damn, nigga, I just told you I got to get the fuck up out of here. So... But niggas don't be hearing that. I want to talk to you a little bit.
No matter where you grow up at, man, shit be the same. Shit be the same.
Shit the same.
That's crazy.
That's the way it is, man. So before we wrap it up, I wanted to get a few more questions and figure out how you feel. So first of all, how do you feel about being sponsored by Duce? And then I want you to talk about what it's been like kind of connecting and vibing with people like Republican Company. Because you got 1 year, bro. And the reason I told you I was proud of you in New York and being 25 and doing this shit, bro, I've been doing this 4 years. And some of the shit that I did or that you're doing, it didn't happen to me for the second year, the third year, some of it the fourth year. So I'm proud of you, first off. But how is it? How does it feel for you, though, in the first year to have all this success, man?
It feels good, but it's just like, I can't really get too caught up on it because I got a lot of other shit that I want to accomplish.
Most definitely.
And I've been told that I need to like stop having that feeling and embrace it more.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
I feel like I can't. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I got to keep putting in the work.
Yep. And you don't want to get too comfortable.
Can't have just one good moment.
Yep.
One good moment ain't going to last forever. You know what I'm saying? It's just a moment. I got to keep putting in the work. I can have multiple moments like that, you know what I'm saying? So, when I put together Mind Over Mind Alive, it was definitely a great feeling, you know what I'm saying? Everybody that believed in me and saw the vision that I had from a year ago. And even Duce, you know what I'm saying? Like, granted, we have a young relationship, but a relationship nonetheless. And it's just like, they automatically bought in to my vision, multiple meetings with them, you know what I'm saying? Multiple going to events just to show my face, just to let them know, like, I'm not just trying to just use y'all, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
I'm trying to build a genuine partnership. And I think that's something that kind of gets misconstrued when you're in business, the lack of building a general great foundation of a relationship.
Yeah.
Like, people are so caught up on trying to use people just for personal gain.
Exactly.
And this is like, no, that's not how it is. So that kind of transitions into your next question about, you know, getting up with Jason and Rich and getting up with you later on.
Yeah.
The relationship that I built with Jason and Rich from Republican Company is crazy, man. I remember I saw these Martin cards and these, they had like the Ain't Panda 5 hat.
Yeah.
Ain't Panda 5 Dad hat. I saw them on IG. I was like, damn, that's kind of, you know, creative. Yeah. I ain't never seen nobody that kind of show love to Martin like that. Because Martin that's a staple in black culture.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
if you ain't watched Martin, you know what I'm saying? If you ain't never watched Martin, you know what I'm saying? Can you really say you black?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah, that goes back to Black Card Revolt, another black game where it's like, nigga, you got to get your black card taken.
Right, exactly. You know what I'm saying? So when I saw what they was doing, I was like, man, and I was still fresh in the game. Granted, this has had to be like, I interviewed them back in January of 2017.
Yeah.
So this had to be maybe like my fifth or sixth show. And, I mean, they fed right into it. I told them how I wanted to approach the interview, what I wanted to talk about. And they were with it, man. They appreciated me for having them on. I mean, because at the time, they were big, but they wasn't as big as they are now.
Now, yeah.
So I just got to thank them for, you know, giving me the opportunity to interview them. You know what I'm saying? And we just constantly just stayed in touch with each other. I always told them that whatever they had going on, I would love to be a part of.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We just kept that constant communication going. They can tell came from a genuine place.
Oh, most definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people got, they can tell when it's authentic and when it's not.
Yeah. Because I told you.
Everything that I was doing, everything I was building in D.C. was authentic. And they just took account to me, man, and just kind of blossomed from there.
Yeah, and it's the same way that me and Jason connected, literally the same exact way. And that's why when he told me about you, I was like, you know what? If he vouching for him, then he must be a pretty cool dude. But it also goes back to what you were saying. A lot of people don't want to put in the work to build these relationships. And I know me coming to D.C. Right. along with Artesia, like, we knew that we didn't have a place in, you know, doing the event. Like, we were strictly there for moral support of Jason and just to see how it went. Plus, we were fresh off doing the Martin Trivia here, and we getting ready to go to Chicago to do the Martin Trivia there. But it's like, we traveled to D.C. Like, that was really all about showing Jason, hey, you know, y'all ain't paying us. We ain't paying y'all. We literally building a partnership together, and I'm here to support what y'all are doing. I fuck with what you're doing. And then the bonus of it, like I said, was meeting you. And then meeting you and understanding that, you know what, it is more good niggas out there like myself, like Jason. You know what I'm saying? Especially for me, coming off a year where I lost a lot of guy friends. I lost a lot of rapports that I had built with people. So to have you guys enter into my life, into my business, into what we're doing, bro, you can't help but be excited. And I'm always excited. I'm excited as a straight woman hanging out with a gay guy, like what they call him, a Judy or whatever. Like, meeting good homeboys, bro. Like, that's the kind of elation that I get when I meet real niggas who really on the grind. And really, like, we literally all have our egos subdued to where we ain't stepping on nobody else's toes. We ain't trying to be the biggest dick in the room. Like, that shit is so fucking refreshing to come across other young black men who just out here trying to get it and put each other on, bro. Period.
Right, and we all like-minded. We all got the same goal.
Yeah.
No one is selfish. No one is trying to outdo the next man. We just trying to put in the work and provide good content and good memorable experiences for our supporters and people that think like us as well, man. So this is like a great partnership, man. I'm definitely excited to see where it's going to go. I know it's going to go a lot of places.
Yeah.
It's going to affect a lot of people. It's going to touch a lot of people, so... I mean, 2018
is already started. Hey, it's already started,
bro. Sure it started for you, and I know it started for Rich and Jay too, man. Yep. So I'm just excited to keep it going to see where it's gonna go.
And you already know, bro. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you because it was like after just talking to you about coming under Roberts Media Group, like we didn't really do much talking. And that's the good thing I like about all of us, because you could just look at a motherfucker's body of work, and then if somebody else vouches for you that's legit, you like, okay, I'm in then. So it's like building this whole Roberts Media Group platform. Like, I'm excited about all of you guys being on board. I'm excited about all the other podcasts. I'm excited about Tenderoni out of Miami. I'm excited about Mind Over Matter out of DC, which is hosted by you, and the Gray Area Podcast out of Chicago and New York, and the Sports Life Talk Podcast here. Bro, it's so much shit going on, and that's just the beginning. Like, literally.
And we all touching different angles.
Oh,
so,
man.
So we get a little through the
everything. Everything, bro. That's why I say I'm excited, man. But let people know where they can find you at and where they can listen to the podcast at.
Yeah, man. So if you search, if you go on the Apple's iTunes podcast app, just search Mind Over Matter. You can find us on there. You can find us on SoundCloud. We're also on Stitcher. We're on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, sir.
If you want to find my personal IG or Twitter, it's at King Nodz, KING. NAJ, that's for Twitter and IG. You can also follow the Mind Over Matter Twitter page. I gotta find somebody to run that for me.
That shit is crazy, bro. Hell yeah, that shit is crazy, bro. I believe me. I need somebody to run all my shit. Yeah, we
it's
definitely
working on. Time, man. Like, man, I can't run three accounts myself.
That shit crazy, bro.
But that's gonna work in 2018. We definitely gonna find somebody to run social media, so that's not a problem. But yeah, man, we're just gonna continue to put out good content. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna continue to say the serenity prayer, leave it all up to the man upstairs, and just put the work in and grind, man.
So what would you tell another podcaster, like if it's a young podcaster, male, female, black, white, blue, what would you tell them if they wanted to get in the podcasting game? What would be one or two tips you would give them to be successful or to make it to their first year like you did?
The first thing I would say is never be scared to talk your shit. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people going to try to keep you sensitive or say, oh, you shouldn't say that, or why did you say that, or do you think that was the right thing to say? Like, always be scared. Never be scared to talk your shit. Always be yourself, because that's what people going to appreciate. You know what I'm saying? They can sniff out the bullshit. They can sniff out when you holding things back in. You know what I'm saying? And that goes back to the live show. You know what I'm saying? It was a moment in the show where, you know, there was a bit of a disagreement with my guest and I. And people was like, damn, Nas, I ain't really expecting you to do that. And it's just like, oh, well, yeah, I mean, just because who he is, I'm not going to be a sucker. Yeah. I didn't disrespect him, but
no, you didn't.
We two men, so we agreed to disagree.
Exactly. You know, but that's a lost art, though.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We wasn't arguing. It was just two men that agreed to disagree. And when you got two men in the room that feel strongly about certain shit, testosterone's level will get a little bit high.
Get high.
But that wasn't the basis of the show. You know what I'm saying? We still had a good conversation nonetheless. It's just, you can't really be scared to not challenge certain people just because of their stature.
Like, most definitely.
That's just not how it works. That's not how I operate.
Nope.
I'm going to always be open, and I'm going to challenge people. So that's what I would recommend if anybody's trying to get in the podcast.
Most definitely.
I would be scared to talk your shit.
And you can't be, man. I'm the same way, man. A lot of people tried to censor me when I first started. That's really why I left iHeartRadio at University of Texas in Arlington when I was doing it there at the college, because we started talking. I think one of the first episodes that the higher ups at the university spoke about was when we did interracial dating. And when we talked about interracial dating, I actually brought in a white woman, because I'm like, I really didn't want to talk about white women, and a white woman is not present. So, you know, when you start doing that kind of shit or having those kind of conversations, and the higher ups or is a closed minded person, not even a white person, just a closed minded person, those are the type of people that's going to shut your shit down. And that's what I think about podcasting. And I think a lot of people should respect the avenue of podcasting a lot more. Like, it's a lot of trash ass podcasts out there, and you need to stop the shit. Cancel your shit. Cancel your subscription. Stop telling people to stop. Stop telling motherfuckers to listen to your shit and all that, bro, because a lot of this shit out here is trash. And everybody don't want to just hear your opinion. Bring somebody else on, have an opinion, and don't come in that bitch in the podcast with us and ums. Make sure your quality is legit and have your shit together, man. It's disrespectful, bro. It's kind of like coming.
It's like
coming into a Prince concert. You ain't got a Prince t-shirt on. You ain't got no white boots on. You ain't got the slight curl. You ain't got no purple. You ain't got no gold. You ain't wearing nothing. Yeah, you ain't doing shit. You going to a Prince concert and you ain't doing shit, nigga. Get out of here, man.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, man, you gotta respect the podcasting game. You gotta respect the community, man. But for real, man, for me, man, I just wanna say, bro, I'm glad you on Roberts Media Group. I'm glad you on Blog Talk Radio. I'm glad to even have a nigga like you under us and work. And this is not even under us. Jason, you, Kevin, Serge, Jakeem, we working together, bro. That's how I've always moved. I don't want nobody to feel like, hey, I'm the man up here and y'all, nah, man. We all here together. We all helping each other out, and the podcast and Roberts Media Group won't be successful without y'all, and it hasn't been successful without y'all. So let's get to the business at hand. Let's move this shit around. Let's take over DC. Let's take over Chicago. Let's finish taking over Dallas, and let's keep doing what the fuck we doing, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. Matter of fact, tell your moms I said hello too, man. I didn't get to talk to alone, but you know what I'm saying. Tell her I said hello. You know, tell her I'm proud of you,
mom,
and I know
she's
proud of you.
She always held me down, man.
Hey, I'm the same way. Like I told you, bro, we wouldn't be shit without women, and we, especially black women, we wouldn't be nowhere that we are right now today without them, bro. Period. But I'm glad. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you again, bro. This is definitely a great partnership, man. I'm very excited what we got planned.
Yes, sir.
I can't wait to link up, man.
Oh, it's coming.
Back up again real soon,
it's
man.
Coming, man. It's coming. We're going to do the, we're going to definitely do the Martin Trivia here in Dallas again in January. So, like I said, once I get the dates, I'll let you know if you need to come out here. Like I already told you, bro, you got a place to stay, so you ain't got to worry about that part of it. So, yeah, we'll definitely keep you going, man, with you being under the umbrella now. Like I told you, we'll be sending out emails for the events that are coming up throughout the year. And whichever ones you want to make, you know, you let us know, and we'll be linking up once we get there.
It's a bet, man. Sounds good. Appreciate it, bro.
Not a problem, man. I thank you guys for listening, man. We want to thank Najee Ellaby for coming on Mind Over Matter podcast. Check it out. He drops a new episode every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio. I am your host, Anthony Roberts. The reality is you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Anchor, Snapchat. Some of this shit I really don't use anymore. But if you want to keep up with all things The Reality Is, go to www.therealityis.com. That's therealityis.com to buy t-shirts, hats, mugs. Keep up with what's going on with the podcast, the new podcast that are rolling out. And also, So if you want to be on the podcast, you can email us at info@therealityis.com and let us know what's going on, man. We'd love to have you for the new year. We got a new studio that we're going to be having y'all motherfuckers in, because I'm tired of you motherfuckers, Frank, coming in this bitch, not taking your shoes off. And after the podcast, y'all niggas are staying around for 30 minutes. So now we're going to have a studio. So when that shit is done, we all fucking done, man. Again, thanks, Naj, for coming on to the podcast. I appreciate you, family.
No question, bro.
All right. As I always say, man, inhale courage to excel success. Y'all be blessed.